Good morning, and welcome to O-Readers Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, June 28th, 2018. We are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 79, the second full paragraph. Today's readers are Libby E. on the 12 Steps, Nancy T. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Julie E. B., Jordan L., and Elaine T. Our reference numbers for yesterday and this morning. Yesterday, Wednesday, June 27th at 10 a.m., the number is 11,593. And for Thursday morning, today, June 28th at 7 a.m., the reference number is 11,596. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Libby E. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning. I'm Libby E., a recovered compulsive eater in New York. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Libby E. And now I'll ask Nancy T. to read our 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. Nancy T., recovered compulsive overeater in Lewiston, Idaho. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise Less problems of money, property, prestige, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for allowing me to serve.
Thank you, Nancy T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 79, paragraph 2, and I will ask Julie E.B. to read 3 paragraphs for us. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you. Thank you for everyone who's doing service on this line, and a special welcome to newcomers and to those who are still suffering in various ways in this disease. My name is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered by the grace of God in Colorado for today. Usually, however, other people are involved. Therefore, we are not to be the hasty and foolish martyr who would needlessly sacrifice others to save himself from the alcoholic pit. A man we know had remarried. Because of his resentment and drinking, he had not paid alimony to his first wife. She was furious. She went to court and got an order for his arrest. He had commenced our way of life, had secured a position, and was getting his head above water. It would have been impressive heroics if he had walked up to the judge and said, "Here I am." We thought he ought to be willing to do that if necessary, but if he were in jail, he could provide nothing for either family. We suggested he write his first wife, admitting his faults, and asking forgiveness. He did, and he also sent a small amount of money. He told her what he would try to do in the future. He said he was perfectly willing to go to jail if she insisted. Of course she did not, and the whole situation has long since been adjusted. Before taking drastic action, which might implicate other people, we secure their consent. If we have obtained permission, have consulted with others, have asked God to help, and the drastic step is indicated, we must not shrink. I am very grateful to be sharing on these instructions today. There are so many instructions. I think it's interesting for making amends. And for me, this is because of the nature of my disease. It is so obvious, yet needs to be said, about my food, about my thinking, about my actions, that usually, however, other people are involved. Only with this disease does such a thing need to be pointed out so very clearly. Other people are involved. So I'm not to be the hasty and foolish martyr that rushes in. I lived that way for a lot of years, thinking I was the martyr, hurting a lot of people along the way. There's a great writer who talks about how we emerge from our childhood, sometimes for people like me, by accomplishment, by perfectionism, but as the big book says, these things boomerang on us. And so we swing from grandiose ideas back to anxiety, depression, I don't know, I can't do anything, I'm worthless. Swinging back and forth, but luckily in this program, there's a solution. We are one among many. We're just another bozo on the bus. And the same conclusion that this fancy doctor comes to, the big book comes to as well, that we just need to do our next right action. So look at here how the person is using the things that they have learned in the other aspects of the step, talking to someone else, working it out with others, securing the consent of other people, obtaining permission, consulting with others, asking God to help. Then there will be this drastic step, perhaps or perhaps not. Drastic is a powerful word in the big book. And when I looked it up, it says likely to have long-lasting effect. Wow. Unlike the food, some drastic steps, carefully taken, not taken alone, are likely to have long-lasting effects. I apologize to the owners of a restaurant for my intemperate and rude behavior when I was in the disease. And sure enough, what an amazing miracle. They said, oh no, we just knew we needed to take care of you more than other people. I said, no, that's not the way it should be. I'm sorry. Your job is very hard. And as I apologized and made amends, she began to cry. She said, can I tell other people? Impulsively, I said, yes, only thinking later how that could affect my family. But my family was supportive. I did it in the wrong order, but I'm appreciative that I was willing to go to any lengths and that I had the support of my family to do so. Thanks for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Okay, who else would like to share on what Julie read?
Martha F.
Sorry, was that Martha F.?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you, Martha. Who else?
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. Anyone else?
Paula D.
Paula D.
Marilyn T.
Marilyn T. We could take one more. Okay, please go ahead, Martha S.
Hi, good morning. This is Martha S., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in upstate New York. So these paragraphs remind me that I can't go out and make an amends without talking to other recovered compulsive eaters, my sponsor and other people, that I can't go out and be the hasty and foolish martyr so I feel better. The example here is a man, the end of the first paragraph. If he had gone up to the judge and said, here I am, and been all heroic, and it would have been selfish and self-seeking and about his ego. Like, here I am, I showed up, I'm making amends in person. But that would have caused more harm if he had done that. And it's all about I and his ego. So I need to, when I work through the steps in step 9, I always had to share my inventory and my amends with my sponsor or another, at that time, my sponsor in step 9, to make sure that my amends wouldn't cause more harm. and to make sure it was a clean amends, you know, that wouldn't cause harm. In this case, in this example, he ended up writing a letter to his wife, you know, face-to-face is a direct amends is what the Big Book recommends, but if that might cause harm, then a letter might be appropriate as a next possibility. And he does ask for forgiveness, even though I was taught not to ask for forgiveness or have any expectation of the person. But he has to here, because if he doesn't ask for forgiveness, his wife might have him put in jail, and then he wouldn't be able to provide any money for his family. So he had to ask for forgiveness. He says what he's going to try to do in the future. He doesn't make any promises, because if I promise I'm never going to do this again, I'm setting the person up to be hurt again. I can say I'm going to try my very best to behave differently in the future, and I know that I'm doing that with my higher power's help. So the next page that we read, I always have to consult with others before making amends in a 10th step. If I feel like I've caused harm, I always need to share my inventory and what I'm thinking of saying as an amends to another recovered person in my God squad so that I don't go out and cause more harm or implicate other people. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha S. Kathleen O., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Kathy. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in California. And oh, we can get so quiet around these difficult amends and even reading about them. So we do not shrink. I think of that as what it kind of felt like for me. I wanted to just pull a blanket over my head and hide and not do my amends. And it's really important if I'm going to get any kind of recovery to not shrink. And to just, you know, it reminds me of the first time I jumped in a pool and I was a little fearful. I was a little kid and my dad was encouraging me and right there and he caught me. And when I took the plunge, so to speak, it was exhilarating. I felt, this is so fun. I want to do it again. Not that I want to do that with amends, but it's the same kind of feeling. It's like, oh, no, it's scary. I don't want to do it. But when I finally did it, it was so freeing. And, you know, being able to dive into water and jump into water and swim is a great feeling. And so it is important when they say don't play the martyr. It was really important for me not to be the victim. You know, when I play the victim, nothing gets done. So I needed to go, I like this saying, where we go, we grow. So if I go into amends, not being the victim, having an open heart, you know, this step is not about me anymore. Step 1 through 7 was pretty much about me. 8 and 9. It's not about me. So I needed to get out of my ego and make amends because I'm helping. It's about the other person. It's not about me. And I found, you know, step 9 really is the ticket to freedom. When they say we're going to know a new happiness and a new freedom, it is so true. Making these amends, that feeling is just overwhelming. And the best part is, in doing these, where I go, I grow, is I tend to not go there anymore. You know, now what I really can live most of my life in is not harming other people and not needing to be right and not needing to be in my ego. And it's a wonderful feeling. And, you know, it's, the water is warm, just jump in. But guidance is key here. We can't, because if I didn't have guidance, I would have gone back into my ego. So I really needed guidance on how to do it. And the reason it's so easy to make a quick amends, our amends shouldn't take really more than 5 minutes, is because when we're not talking about where we were harmed or about us, and we're just talking about the harm we did to the person, it's really easy to be quick and honest and loving and kind when we do it, and because it's not about us. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Paula D., please share with us.
Is it my turn? This is Marilyn T.
No, I was looking for Paula D. You'll be next, Marilyn.
Okay.
Well, good morning. This would be Paula D., and thank you for your service today, Kathy. And this is Paula D., as I said before, repeating myself. It seems to happen as I get older, but, and I will repeat this too, Paula D., recovered by and with the grace of God. So I come into these 3 minutes, mindful of the time. That also improves with age. We begin here, and oh my goodness, some of the things that the foolish martyr. Oh yeah, but you know the martyr was always about, and I will say it clearly, me. Ego hadn't shifted. Watch the shift that we see takes place because of resentment in drinking. Yeah, and we all know the drinking is, there's a big part of it is the thinking. But resentment, the number one offender. He had not paid alimony to his first wife, and I'm sure he decided that she didn't deserve it. Oh, yeah, I deemed out who deserved what, and when, and why, and where. Then it turned. And look what he says here. It would have been impressively heroic if he'd walked up to the judge and said, here I am. Their ego again, standing up. But look at the change. And I love the way this book says it, because we can put our own story here. I think we all have stories of ego. But look at what happened. We suggested he write his first wife, admitting his fault. I'm sure she didn't really want to meet with him. We have to be clear on this. We think we'd be better. Think again. And asking forgiveness. There is the difference. Asking forgiveness. When I ask forgiveness, it's no, I have in some way, whether I thought so or not, I've wronged somebody. I've hurt somebody. Page 89. Our goal, our aim is to be helpful. That's our only aim. He did. And look at what he did. He added something to it. A small amount of money, not to pay off, but to begin. And I want to go on here, because that's what I did. I couldn't pay off some of the debts I owed. I couldn't. But boy, I could sure make a beginning. And that's what this whole program is about. There can be no beginning without an ending. And then it said, of course she did not, in the whole situation, I love that word, has long been adjusted. I got to tell you, even today, I am adjusting. New home, new different way of health, perhaps living in Florida for good. Adjusting always. But wait, that's the geographical thing. Let's talk about listening, not offering advice, just listening. And then it goes on. And there's my time. Is that my time?
Yeah.
Okay, well then I am going to end right there. And I thank you for the time given. And I just want to end with what it said here. Consult with others. Ask God to help. And the drastic step indicated, we must not shrink. So there we come. My favorite three-word prayer is help, thanks, and wow. And I'm going to end right there. God bless
thank
all.
Thank you, Paula. Thanks, Paula D. Marilyn T., please go ahead.
This is Marilyn T. from California, and humbly ask forgiveness on that one. I just, when I push that star one, I don't hear things. So, again, there's a perfect example of pausing and waiting and praying. And that's the other thing that I wanted to bring into this about those three paragraphs we read, or two paragraphs. Pause when you're making, it's easy to get that step eight, which is pulling everything from the fourth step inventory, but you work this with your sponsor and you pray about what you're going to do. You take it to your higher power first. And I think in the natural progression of things, you're going to want to probably, in my zeal to become a better person, you want to really do too much. And that's why the certain instructions and guidelines, like no more than 5 minutes, you don't discuss their part of this whole thing. This isn't about them. This is strictly the fact of what you have done and what your reparations would be if that needs to be, or and the behavior that you will not repeat. And I think that's where, whether it's a living amends, a letter, or a face-to-face, or donating to a worthwhile charity, whatever it happens to be, it has to be well thought of, and it has to serve the purpose of changing. You are changing your life. You are a different person. You will seek guidance before you go off half-cocked. You will pray about it. You will talk with a sponsor. You will discuss it with a fellow. And so there is some planning involved, and which is the way normal people probably live their life, of which I don't have a lot of experience, but so glad to be doing it in the Big Book with a sponsor and a vision for you. And thank you guys all so much. I very much have learned so much when I pause. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Marilyn T. Okay, who else would like to share on these paragraphs? For those of you who joined us late, we're on page 79, the second paragraph, and we read three paragraphs until it says we must not shrink. Who would like to share?
Kaylee R.
Elaine T.
Kaylee R. Elaine T.
Sherry KB. Sherry KB.
I got you, Sherry. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
Okay, Kaylee R., please go ahead.
Hi everyone, it's Kaylee R. from Northern California, recovering compulsive overeater. I really like that we're talking about amends, because I'm on my ninth step, and I've made most of my amends, but I have one, and I've been talking with my sponsor that I'm not really sure it is an amend. It's a friend of mine. At the time, I had consulted with my previous sponsor and other fellows in program, and what she was doing was hurting my feelings, and I was in a lot of pain, and so I consulted my sponsor, and instead of cutting her off like I would with anyone who was hurting my feelings, I decided to talk to her and let her know, you know, these things are hurting my feelings. I really think just I need a little break from our friendship. But we would still see each other on a regular basis, so I was like, I don't want things to be weird. Well, eventually she just started completely ignoring me, and it's really uncomfortable now. It's been a little over a year. We see each other at least once a month, and we just look the other way, and I'm very good friends with her boyfriend. So I'm trying to figure out if it's making an amends or if it's having a conversation to clear the air and find out if I did cause her any harm. How can I make that up to her? Because I would like to move on from this and feeling, because that uncomfortable feeling makes me want to eat, makes me want to go to the food, and I don't want that anymore. So for those out there who are listening and thinking, well, I have that person who's really uncomfortable, but I don't think I did anything wrong. I'm digging into my heart and trying to figure out how I can make it right. And even though maybe I didn't do anything wrong, I can be the bigger person and clear the clear my side of the street and hopefully clear the air so that, you know, there's not an uncomfortableness anymore, because I'm sure she feels it as well. All right, and with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kaylee. Or Elaine P., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Elaine. Yeah, it took me a second. This is Elaine T. calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I'd like to focus on reminding ourselves that we've decided to go to any length and to find a spiritual experience. We ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. I had to read that over and over a couple of times for some of the amends that I needed to make, because I was concerned about losing a position or a reputation. I was concerned of, you know, not only losing a position, but then maybe not being able to find another position and going down the road. And I had children to support, et cetera. But my higher power is wonderful. What I found was that once I was completely willing, that no matter what, that the right thing to do was to be honest and take responsibility for my behaviors, that I felt better. It usually went well. I had one experience where it was just kind of neutral. The person said, okay, you know, go on with your life. but unless I was willing to do these things, I definitely was going to be back in the food, and I knew that. And while being fat is an issue with me, it's more of an issue that it blocks me from the sunlight of the spirit, and it blocks me from being the kind of person that I want to be, the kind of person that I think God wants me to be, and, you know, frankly, the kind of person people like and want to get along with. So I'm grateful for all the steps, and while this one wasn't my favorite to do, ultimately, I know that it has taught me the most, because I had such an ego. I reminded myself of Bill, and I needed to be humble. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Elaine T. Sherry KB, please share with us.
Kathy, good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Kathy, and everybody on the line. Sorry, I've got some sinus things going on here. You know, the first paragraph that we read, it talks about that we don't need to act like a martyr. So what it's telling me is don't unburden myself at someone else's expense. Don't make it, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, when I did the work this way, all the other four steps were like novels for me. And so when I made amends in past step work that I did, not like this. I would end up, you know, making excuses, like justify, explaining, defending myself. And here it's telling me don't do that, Sherry. It's telling me to not discuss the other person's faults, and only admit my own. And ask forgiveness, and it's giving me precise directions here, especially in the third paragraph on page 79. And then on page 80, it talks about, you know, before we take drastic action to implicate anybody, again, it's reminding us, you know, other person, we're supposed to secure their consent. If someone else is involved, we need to discuss it with them first before we take any drastic action. So that's what it's telling me there. And always ask God for help, as was mentioned, and that we must not shrink. And I like a little ditty that says, don't puff up, don't shrink down, stand on your sacred ground. And to me, I don't try to justify my behavior. And I don't, you know, I state the facts of what I've done. I say I'm sorry. I don't beg forgiveness. I don't have to beg or grovel or crawl. And I don't, you know, I ask God And that's prayer. Any time you see the word asked is about prayer. And so, you know, I take God with me when I go and do these things. And I love that step 9 gives us specific instructions here. And I also I feel that, you know, when going, and it mentioned earlier that we've read that, you know, perhaps that they might not agree with us, or they might possibly throw us out of their office, or whatever. But the thing is we're going to make that amends, and we need to take the bit in our teeth and listen. And I don't know, for years I always was eating at everything and everybody else and never thought I had a part, and seeing my, you know, what selfishness really meant, wanting people to be different than who they are, really made a change for me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Okay, we can take another group. Who else would like to share? Would anyone like to share?
Mary Jean C.
Mary Jane C. Thank you, Mary Jane.
Patty T.
Patty T.
Eileen S.
Eileen S. I probably could take one more.
Mariana D.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mariana D. Okay, Mary Jane C., please go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Mary Jean C. I'm from New Jersey, and I am definitely a compulsive overeater. And I'm so grateful that these last weeks have been on step 9, because I had one that was really difficult. And it wasn't until I read the paragraph about how you might have hated someone, you hated someone and they were really awful to you. And yet there was still room for me to make an amend to that person. I didn't want to hear that. I thought I was in survival mode. I was just trying to survive working with this person. And so I kind of put it to bed. But when I read that paragraph, it hit me. And I went, you know what? I need to do this. So all this focus on step 9 during these last couple of weeks has really given me the courage. And I prayed about it. I wrote about it. I wrote what I would say. And I actually made the phone call this morning. So the first number, I got a fax machine, same number. Then I said, something must be wrong. So I called back and I got a machine. But I did leave a voicemail because I was willing. And that to me was the most important part. I was willing to do this. And I said, it's Mary Jean, and I'd like to speak to you for a minute if I can. Sometimes I don't pick up if I don't recognize the number. So if you can, please call me back or I'll try you again. And I left it at that. And I got to tell you, I was almost shaking, not quite. But these things aren't easy to do, especially when it's someone that you thought was so abusive for so many years. But I know just my willingness to do it, and eventually I will do it, I'm going to feel different. And see, the bottom line is I don't ever want to go back to eating. I don't ever want to go back to the food. And so for me, that means go to any lengths. And I told my sponsor, and she just laughed. She said, I've been waiting for you to come to this one. So I'm very grateful for all of you being on this phone, because if it wasn't for this consistent study and for me truly thinking about what's going on here, I wouldn't have gotten to this point, and I would have buried it for how many years more, I don't know. And who knows if I might relapse or go back to the food. But by being willing, I have a chance to stay abstinent and sober and keep working this program. And I'm very grateful. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Mary Jean C. Patty T., please share with us.
Hi, everybody. This is Patty T. from Southern California, recovered. You know, several years ago, many years ago, actually, I had a friend who was diagnosed and died of cancer. And she had two little girls, who I helped take care of during her illness. They were 11 and 12 when she passed away. And after she passed away, they had moved to live with their father. Their parents were divorced. And they were, of course, unhappy. They were grieving and they were, you know, struggling. And I brought them to visit me. And during that visit, I recognized some things in myself that terrified me. My lack of patience and my lack of compassion and a lot of stuff. This was long before I got into program. And after I took them home, I thought about it, and my best thinking was to send them a letter and to say, you know, I really want you to be happy, and I really think you need to give your dad and your new environment a chance, and it's time to break the ties with LA. I will always be here for you. You can call me anytime, blah, 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 right? I thought that was the best way to handle this. These were adolescent children. And, of course, they were absolutely devastated. And it was years. It was maybe 4 years later, I was working for an attorney who mentioned to me that his mother was their therapist and that he felt I owed them an amends. And I was in program at that time. By then, I had gotten into program. And I went to my sponsor, and I said, what can I do? I'm devastated. I don't know what to do. And she had me read this part of the big book, and she had me take the steps. I had to go on Facebook and find out if they were on Facebook, and then I had to see if one would friend me, and then I had to get a phone number, and then I had to make a call. And then I wrote my letter of amends and memorized it. And then I flew to Berkeley to make an amends to the older daughter. And it was amazing. She said, you don't owe me an amends. It was a really hard time for us all. Her sister, on the other hand, never wants to speak to me again. I hurt her so badly. And I have to live in the acceptance of that. But today I do have a relationship with this one child who is now a woman and incredibly bright. And and I'll end here. That's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Patty T. Eileen S., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Eileen S. from Portland, Oregon, currently in Southern California. So grateful. I'm so grateful to have this meeting to connect with all of you guys. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for being there. Yeah, I looked at my book this morning. I listened to the earlier meeting, and I just got on, so I don't have my book right in front of me. But just, you know, talking about the ninth step amends, and I have made some, and I am currently down here in Southern California to help my mother move. I have made amends to my mother before, but I just did another fourth step, and, you know, I went through it with my sponsor, and I appreciate always hearing people talk about their experience and how important it is for us to have guidance, because if I just made up stuff in my head, I would create wreckage. I can do that very well on my own. Thank you very much. So I talked to my sponsor because I didn't really have any amends to make to her based on, you know, what I had going on and what I talked to my sponsor about. But I said I felt like there might be something, but I don't know what it is right now. And so she just suggested that I just pray, you know, and ask God to show me the opportunity. Show me the opportunity. And there's a podcast that I've listened to on Visions that talks about the steps and what we say, because I need specific direction. And thank God this program gives us that, because otherwise I'm going to go off to the left or right. And I did have an experience, and this is more of a 10th step yesterday, but I did have an experience with my mom where I did owe her amends for just getting upset about something. And because of this program, you know, it teaches me and all of you who show me the ways to say it, And someone said to me that I talked to, maybe on this line, I'm not sure. She said, I'm on a holy mission to be there for my mother right now and to help her. And I'm on a holy mission. I just love that. And so there's been right now, I had to leave to go get some coffee and call you guys. My brother is there in his very, very, I love my brother, but he's super, he got up, brought his backpack down. Okay, we're going to start doing work at this time of the morning. I'm learning to be of service to my brother too. And I have to do the fear prayer and I have to do the resentment prayer. And I am learning not, part of my living amends is not to react to everything, to go with the flow, which is totally not me on my own. And I had an experience yesterday where I was absolutely shown by God that God's got my back and God's in charge. So this whole process, I'm just trusting this 4 days that I'm going to be down here that God is going to be in charge. And however many times I need to get on my knees, I'm going to do it. And I need to take breaks, keep my food clean, as of course, text my sponsor. And I'm so, so grateful to be here with all of you. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Eileen S. And Mariana D., you'll be our last share today. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Mariana. Wow, what a wonderful meeting. What's really coming up for me is just how the ninth step works in my life. And this whole program, you know, I've heard it called a design for living, and I truly believe that. And a quote that I heard the other day was something like, hard choices, easy life, easy choices, hard life. And I feel like sometimes when we're making these amends, or we're looking at our side, or we're going that extra step and engaging with people about things that we're fearful of, or we don't know how the outcome's going to be, those can be difficult, yet there comes a liberation with that and an ease. And then when we don't do those things and we're not working our program because it just, you don't feel like it, then life becomes really hard. And I had a situation the other day with a family member that lives out of the country, and I haven't seen her in a while, and she was coming to town. And I knew I was going to see her yesterday, and I was preparing for it because there had been a lot of hurt with when I had seen her last time, and for my family as well. And then it so happened that she was going to come to our home the day before. Other family had asked if they could stop by and see our new home, and I was really stressed. And I took it to my quiet time. I couldn't get the negativity out. I spoke with my sponsor and asked God to please help me. And it happened. And what came to me was through my sponsor, this may be the last time you see her. She's getting older and she's going back to Africa. And it's not very safe where she's at. And I also, what came to me was compassion, because when we were dealing in that time, it was a stressful time for all of us. And we actually saw the worst in all of us, I believe, at that time, where we were caring for my mom and she had dementia and cancer, and it was not easy. And so I talked to my family. I said, I think we need to have a lot of compassion around this and just be really loving. And we had a wonderful visit on Tuesday. And yesterday I wasn't even stressed, and we had another wonderful visit with my sister. So that's this program. Instead of going with the story of anger or hurt and like making up more story around that, I was able to stop and sit with the uncomfortable, reach out and accept that it was compassion that needed to be there and love that needed to be there and forgiveness. And so with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mariana D. And thank you to everyone who's here and who shared. It's now time to close this meeting, and we will close it with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Elaine T., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Are you there, Elaine? Anybody else would like to read this? If not, I will read it.
Can you hear me? Kathy.
Oh, are you there, Elaine?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had a little finger problem, I think, with SARS-1 and et cetera. Okay, so this is Elaine T., recovered compulsive overeater just for today in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.